I would like to do this morning is just share some thoughts, and there will be some time for questions. And I wonder, when you heard the topic about renunciation and surrender, who thought that sounds like a lot of fun? Sounds like a lot of fun. We have a few people. Who thinks it sounds all a bit heavy and a bit serious? We have more for the heavy and serious side, actually. I think that it's true, when we hear these topics, it does sound a little bit perhaps intense or serious. But actually, for me, when I go into these ideas about renunciation and surrender, I find it incredibly sweet. And what it does, it just makes me realize that this is the highest life. Baba is the highest teacher. And this is the highest destination which we're on. Because all of us want to create our fortune. Is that right? Anyone here not want to create their fortune? And you know, so many times Baba says that renunciation is the basis, is the foundation of creating my fortune, my eternal fortune. And also many times Baba mentions that renunciation is the basis of genuinely regaining my internal strength, you know, my internal power. And I can remember some years ago in Australia, a group of us were having a conversation and we were discussing what we need most. And the ultimate answer which we came to was spiritual power. I think that most of us know where we want to go, we know what we want to achieve, you know, we know all that, but how to move where I am to there? Where do I get the internal strength to go to that place where the soul is in a full state of self-respect and happiness and so on? And I can remember in my early days, when I first started, I came into Gyan in London, and I can remember I went to Madhuban in 1975, and the following year I went again. And as I was leaving, Daddy Jenki said to me, she said, "Well, you have progressed, you know, you have attained," and she said, "You are loving, but now you have to become powerful." And it was true, because I felt that many things used to influence me. Many things used to affect me. You know how we love Baba, we have faith in Baba, but still, everything in the drama keeps influencing me and affecting me. So it's like I haven't really become so stable or strong or powerful. And I began to think, well, how do I really become powerful? And I can remember in 1982, Baba spoke a series of mulis. I can't remember how many, but I think it was 7. And they became known as the renunciation mulis. And I, as far as I'm aware, it's the only time that Avyak Bapdada has spoken a whole series of mulis on one subject. And when I read those mulis, to be honest, I felt, now I know really what Raj Yoga is about. Now I really understand what this life is truly about. And now I understand the method, the practical step-by-step method to regain my internal strength, so that nothing of the world outside, you know, all the scenes of drama, the situations, the personalities, the atmosphere, can take away my internal well-being and stability. And I just wonder, who here has read the renunciation mulis? It's not so many, actually. I would really recommend it. Because, actually, there's two things. renunciation and surrender. In a simple way, renunciation is of the rubbish, surrender is things of value. So when I come to Baba, I bring things of value. I bring my wealth, my skills, my talents, my abilities, my education. I bring many things of value. They're the things I surrender. Renunciation is of the rubbish. We can say body consciousness, desires, negativity, impurity. And in this journey, we need both. And it's really interesting sometimes how Brahman life unfolds, because, you know, the sweetest moment in our journey is the recognition of Baba. You know, I can remember so clearly that moment when it really, the penny dropped, as the saying goes in English. And the deep realization that this is God and the feeling of Baba's love. We will surrender wealth, time, energy, everything. And we do that instantly, but at the same time we start on the journey of renouncing my impurity. Actually, surrender is easy. You can start that straight away. It's just a decision. But renunciation is not so easy. Would you agree? Because that takes time. And to be very open, sometimes the soul completely surrenders. But if I don't have success in my renunciation, if I'm battling with my old sanskaras, sometimes I feel at this point, at a point where I feel empty. On the one hand, I've let go the world and success of the world and name and fame in the world and recognition in the world. But on the other hand, I really haven't achieved success in letting go impurity. And even sometimes the soul then wants to take back what it has surrendered, because that gave me some limited achievement in my life. And so there's two things are there, renunciation and surrender. And what Baba says is little formula. Baba has a little formula. Renunciation plus surrender equals trusteeship. I become a trustee. And this is the method for spiritual progress, because I begin to let go dependence on everything. When I have that little formula, I begin to let go dependence on everything. And what am I really doing? Actually, when I have genuine surrender and renunciation, I'm laying the platform for real meditation. Deep, powerful yoga. My experience is that if you ask all the Brahman family, what do we want most? Most of us just want to have this incredibly deep and powerful link with Baba. But often I feel we just want to sit in meditation and go straight there, you know? Just like that, we want to go straight there. We haven't done the groundwork which lays the foundation for quality meditation. And this is why both renunciation and surrender are essential. Because when I sit and I have renunciation and surrender, the things of value don't pull me. My successes in the world, my achievements in the world, the wealth I've accumulated, that doesn't pull my intellect away from Baba. But also the past, the rubbish, the negativity, that's not pulling me too. And so it's like when I have that renunciation and surrender, it frees my intellect to go to Baba. Otherwise, what happens is as I go on the journey, my intellect is pulled here and there. And that's why these things are absolutely essential to have that quality of yoga, which I think, you know, all of us really want. And Baba often says that that step of becoming a trustee is the method to become bodiless. And if you look at, you know, so many times Baba says, children, practice bodilessness, practice bodilessness. And when we have these two things, it takes me in that direction. So surrender. Surrender, I think, is surrendering all my resources according to Baba's directions. This is really how Baba sees surrender. And what I feel often is that when we come to Baba, I'm a soul, I'm Baba's child, but I have six resources. And actually these six resources create my fortune when I use them for Baba. What are they? My thoughts, my words, my actions, my time, my money, and my energy. So the soul possesses these six resources. And before we were Brahmins, we just used them in the way we wanted to. But often, without realizing it, we used them for wrong karma. And so we suffered. We had these resources. But when I use my thoughts in the wrong way, when I use my thoughts for critical thinking, I become unhappy. And so now Baba comes along and Baba says, children, you have these resources. If you give them to me and use them according to my directions in my service, you will create unlimited fortune. Because it's like we not only have recognized Baba, I'm using what I have, my resources, to support Baba's task. And sometimes I think the yajna is like a godly investment bank, you know? It's a spiritual investment bank. And what we do is we invest my pure thoughts, we invest my words, we invest those resources, and they're divinized. And actually that brings so much power to the soul. So surrender is really surrendering the things of value, using them according to God's directions. And these are very subtle, because even after many years, I think, you know, this whole idea of understanding Srimat and recognizing when I'm under the influence of Manmat, Parmat, Shastramat, Gurumat, all the mats. You know all the mats? Manmat, the directions of my mind. Parmat, the directions of others. The influence of others, what they feel I should do. You know, Gurumat is the influence of teachers and gurus and people like that. And Shastramat is like the influence of scriptures or philosophy or belief systems or whatever. And these are all the influences. But when we use them according to Baba's directions, that's when the soul gets power. And so first I have that surrender. That's the first step in regaining my inner strength. The second is renunciation. And as I was saying, Baba, more than any other thing, Baba will say, renunciation is the basis of creating fortune. And Baba said that renunciation is stepping away from the consciousness of mine and letting go all my rights over that. So you think all the things I say, mine, 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 renunciation is stepping away from that and giving away my rights over that. And true renunciation is that I will never take it back again. And sometimes, you know, I love to sort of think about the cycle. I love to churn the cycle. And you know, when the little soul first came into the deity body, when we all first came down, what did I have? What did I have? Did I have any network of I and my? We had absolutely nothing. Think of the freedom that we had at that time. Absolute freedom in the golden and silver ages. But as we came into the copper age, as we lost my power, I began to look outside to supplement my power. And so the weaker I felt, I started to say, you are mine, this is mine, I am this. It's like we build up this network of I and my to make me feel good. It gives me temporary security, and yet the more we have that I and my, it makes me feel heavy. You know that feeling, if you've ever woken up in the morning where everything's okay in your life, but you just feel heavy? You don't feel joyous, you feel just burdened, flat, heavy. It's like the weight of this dependent consciousness, this consciousness of I and my, that's just on the soul. And I feel this amazing thing that the soul begins so light with nothing, and by the end of the cycle we have layers and layers of dependent stuff sitting within me. We have the layer of possessions, you know, all the things we own, my possessions. We have the layer of relationships. You think of all the layers and all the associated feelings with that. We have the layers of roles and responsibilities. My role, my responsibility, my career, my job. Even my ideas, my opinions, my beliefs. Often I think they're some of our greatest attachments. It's like we come to the end of the cycle with all this stuff, and then Baba, we become Baba's child, and Baba says, okay children, you now have to let this whole network go. You've built it up, it's supported you, it's given you temporary support, now you have to dismantle it completely. And I often remember one sister giving a meditation commentary, and it was a wonderful meditation commentary, that she was saying that she took us in front of this big, 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 big house, and the house had 84 rooms. You can guess where I'm going. And we walked in the front door and we went into the first room. And in that room was all the things of my one life, you know. So there was a wardrobe with all the clothes I'd worn. There was all the photos on the wall of all my relatives and friends, and you know, and then there was all the things on the mantelpiece, the trophies, the successes, the things I'd achieved, you know? And then she took us into the second room. Once again, all the things of a life. You think how much the soul has accumulated. And it's like we come to Baba, we recognize Baba, we have faith in Baba, but we're still sitting with this stuff. And really, to come close to Baba, to become pure, I've got to dismantle this massive network of I and my. And this is why I think Baba spoke this renunciation mullis, because Baba spoke in depth about the three steps of renunciation, which I think really clarify to me what this life is really about. And the first step was renunciation of the consciousness of the body, which is the first step of everything in this life. And what Baba was saying, a sannyasi renounces his home, and a true sannyasi never goes back. The BK renounces the home of the body. And in a true way, Baba was saying, we should never be attracted again to my body. Baba was talking at such a high level, and Baba was saying that the attitude of renunciation, what is the attitude when I've renounced the consciousness of the body, that literally I'm the soul, this is for Baba's service. Baba was saying, actually, my body is to use for Baba's service. I am like a guest. I am the guest in this costume. And he likened it just how Shiv Baba came into Brahma Baba, did what he did, and left again. And Baba was saying, we have to get to that point where we use the body and the sense organs and then become detached again. So Baba talking at a very high level, but what is happening? It's reclaiming my authority. Reclaiming my authority once again, where I finish all dependence and I move from being a slave to a master. I move from the slave mentality, the slave to all the my's, because they control me. Whatever I'm dependent on, they control me, and I become the master once again. And Baba said a really interesting thing. He said, what is the sign of a slave? The sign of a slave, they always have some form of sorrow on their face. You know, the sign of a slave is that they're always in a state of sorrow. They're constantly upset. They get upset about one thing, that gets solved. Then they get upset about another thing, and then that gets solved. Then they'll get upset about another thing. And Baba's indicator to us, how much have I become the conqueror of body consciousness? How much do I experience these waves of sorrow? Because Baba said the sign of a master is to be cheerful constantly. To keep that cheerful nature. So in any situation, with any individual, in any atmosphere, I never let go of my self-respect. And this, I think, was really wonderful that, you know, how far have I really done the work in the first lesson? I think you know it's one of my favorite subjects because I feel it's absolutely fundamental. This is the first step of our life, to renounce the consciousness of the body. I can remember coming here to Madhuban after being a BK for 10 years. And I can remember asking myself, well, how far have I really become soul conscious? I've been practicing for 10 years. Because Baba gave a muli, and what he said was, children, it's not really that you're soul conscious, and it's not really that you're body conscious, but you're action conscious, you know? The culture of life today, action, just keep running, because action fulfills a lot of desires and a lot of needs. So Baba said, well, you're not really body conscious, but you're not soul conscious either, you're action conscious. And I can remember I did a chart on my wall, and I had all the things of body consciousness on one side and all the things of soul consciousness, like from mortal to immortal, from temporary to eternal, from corporeal to incorporeal. And I charted how far have I gone, and really it wasn't very far. You know, it wasn't very far to really become that aware of myself as the tiny, tiny soul. To me, I think often we come to Madhuban for the season, we listen to classes, we listen to ideas. It's great. But have I done that fundamental work? To me, it's like the bedrock of Brahman life. If I'm not soul conscious, I can't be stable. If I'm not soul conscious, I can't be detached. If I'm not soul conscious, I can't even connect with Baba. You know, it's the fundamental practice. And Sakha Baba has his attention on this subject the whole time. And I think that if I still feel the waves of sorrow, if I still feel this upsets me, this affects me, Baba's indicating, it's showing that there's still major areas of body consciousness that are in the soul. And so that first step, you know, how far, the first step of renunciation, how far have I really let go, renounce the consciousness of my body? This is lifelong learning. I think we want to go to the point that death is really nothing. You know, like, you know, Brahma Baba, I just think it's amazing, through his own effort, he flew like an angel. But the second level of renunciation is of the physical senses. And Baba was saying in these mulis that what is the game of slaves? What's the karmic game of slaves? And Baba had some very amusing language where he was saying, a mouse comes and you chase that away, then what comes? A cat. Then the cat comes, you chase that away, what comes next? A dog. Then you chase the dog away, what comes next? A lion. What Baba was saying is that the eyes deceive me, and I resolve that. Then my ears deceive me, I resolve that. And then maybe my taste was, you know, deceives me. I resolve that. Even then my sanskaras begin to deceive me too. And so it's like I'm under the influence of my sense organs. And what Bhav was saying, just like you said, the body is my home, and in your home you have implements. In the same way, the sense organs are like the implements of the body. What does it really mean? What it really means to me is that what I see takes over my thinking. What I hear takes over my thinking. What I taste. And so I see something I want to eat, or I just see food. Immediately I begin to think about it and I want to have it. You know? So the sense organ is driving my thinking. It takes over my inner world rather than me remaining the master. I see someone's body. I begin to be attracted to that. It starts to create a whole lot of thoughts and feelings associated with attraction or whatever. And when you really think about it, sometimes I think during a day, if you watch what's happening in your mind, I think most of our thinking is driven by reaction. You see somebody, you think, think, think. You hear some news, you think, think, think. You know, you see this, you see that, and it keeps driving your thinking. And so basically the sense organs are controlling my inner world. And this is the beautiful thing, that when I begin to meditate, what are we actually doing? What we're doing is we're sitting and creating thought that I want. It's not that my mind's just reacting to life. Whatever is in front of my eyes or hearing in my ears, that's driving my thinking. I sit down and I create, regardless of the atmosphere, I start to feed my mind with the thoughts I want about the soul and about Baba. I'm taking back my sense of mastery. And actually, what was interesting was that Baba was saying that when I've become the renunciate of the sense organs, then I will never be influenced or deceived. So the sign of the soul who's renounced the senses is that wherever I am, no matter what atmosphere, no matter what opinions, no matter what situations, my mind is cool and under my control. The atmosphere and environment isn't driving my thinking and stimulating my sanskars. Because when I see something, it drives my thinking and it'll stimulate greed, it'll stimulate lust, it'll stimulate attraction, it'll stimulate something. And so, you know, and then I'm deceived. I come under the influence of that thinking and I'm deceived. So the second step in renunciation is ultimately that I live in this world but I'm not influenced and I'm not deceived by anything. I remain in my self-respect. I remain introvert. I keep my internal state of well-being. And then the third step of renunciation was of the consciousness of the relationships of the body, whether lokik or alokik. So Baba taking us from the renunciation of the consciousness of the body, the renunciation of the physical senses, and thirdly, the renunciation of the consciousness of the bodily relationships. And in this, Baba said, to become the destroyer of attachment, to conquer all dependence. And Baba was saying that the destroyer of attachment is never attracted or repulsed. And, you know, repulsion, when meaning that sometimes I have so much dislike for somebody, so much distaste, I can't get them out of my intellect. You know, I'm constantly focusing on their behavior and feeling it really unpleasant. You know, we would probably call it a deep karmic account. Can I meditate? Can I meditate? Actually, you know, I cannot remember Bubba at this time. And you know how Bubba described this? In a really interesting way, as a royal form of selfishness. That actually, disliking someone, having hatred for someone, having a repulsion for someone is selfishness, because they're not fulfilling my desires of how I want them to be. Because body conscious love is all about, you know, it's not about you, it's about you fulfilling what I want. So many times I've heard Brahmins say that when they change their lifestyle, sometimes their families complain a lot, because, you know, the basis of selfish love is that you have to be what I want you to be. If you want to be something different, true love would say, that's fine, I love you whoever you are. But selfish love is that you actually have to be the way I want you to be. And if you change, it's not fulfilling my desires. And so having that dislike or repulsion is actually a form of selfishness. So attachment is this game. Either I feel repulsed and it pulls my intellect, or really attracted. And when I'm attracted, I'm influenced. And I bow down in front of that person. I become impressed. You know, I remember one wonderful Avyaktamuli where Baba was talking about the subtle forms of vices. And, you know, he was saying that anger, the gross is getting very angry, subtle is irritation, refined anger is not wanting to be near somebody, avoiding somebody, not speaking to somebody. But Baba was saying that the refined form of lust, we may not have the gross, is being impressed by somebody, being putting them on a pedestal in a way. And a good way of really seeing how much attraction or attachment do I have is when I have a problem, when I have an issue in my life, where does my intellect go? It's a really good thing to check. Does it go to Baba or does it go to a human being? Because, you know, this is a high destination, but this is where Baba is taking us, because probably the greatest sorrow that we have is the dependence on human relationships. And so Baba has this wonderful psychology of moving us, not saying don't have relationship, just shifting them to Baba. And Baba said an interesting thing, that how much do we understand this subtle and deep karmic debt of someone who gives support and someone who takes support, even with another Brahman. Baba was talking. Sometimes we let go the gross side in the lokic, but even with another Brahman, someone wants to need support, and I fulfill their need by giving them support. And Baba said, I then am not really clearing my karmic account. I'm once again increasing my karmic account. And Baba was saying, you can't remember Baba, even having a subtle dependent relationship on another. And Baba said that sometimes souls can be so clever, they can be very clever in speaking knowledge, very clever, but still sustaining these dependent relationships. And, you know, I sometimes feel that the most powerful point of spiritual knowledge is to have all relationships with one Baba. You know, why? Because, you know, Baba is incorporeal, viceless, and egoless. You know, If I start to have all my natural love, relationship, belonging, interaction, or emotional needs in that direction, what do I become? It's almost natural that I move back into my nature to be incorporeal, egoless, you know, viceless, etc. But if I have one foot in each boat, I do love Baba. I love Baba. I have faith in Baba. I try to remember Baba. But I also have a dependent human relationship or dependent human relationships. What happens is that I keep those sanskaras alive. So I remember Baba here, and then I remember my relatives, and I keep body conscious, you know, impurity. It's like I'm sustaining it. I'm sustaining that in my story. And that's why I think that I feel the most natural way to just move forward easily is just to have one Baba. And actually, my own personal experience is the closer you feel to Baba, the closer you feel to everybody. To me, detachment means to be so loving, so close, so much belonging, communicating, cooperation, absolutely close and involved with others, but not dependent on or not influenced by it. Because it's, as we know, it's the most misunderstood virtue in the Brahman world. We go through all these phases of seeing detachment as aloof or removing myself or cutting off. Actually, I think when I'm truly detached in the accurate way, I feel so close to others. You know, the more detached, the more love comes into my life. That's the beauty. And this is what Baba is saying, children, if you, the second half of the cycle, we've developed all these dependent relationships, but the more I'm dependent, the more I'm influenced. If you feel influenced by people, it's because I still have that dependent nature. And then the game is, sometimes I can't stand the sight of you, and sometimes I want you around. You know, that fluctuation, that duality. And so it's like in these mulis, Baba took us through these three steps in a very methodical way. And at each step he said, children, check yourself. How far have you come? How far have you come? And then he began to talk about three types of renunciates, because Baba said there's three households. When Baba says a household, he means the household of I and my. There's the household of the Lokic household and relationships is the first. The second is the household of the body. And the third is the household of service. And that was really interesting too, because the way Baba described it, it's easy to see where I'm at. And the first one, Baba said, were renunciates. And through knowledge and yoga, they've renounced the Lokic household and become Baba's child, and they're following the principles. But Baba was saying that these souls, sometimes they have Brahman experiences and sometimes not. Sometimes they have courage, sometimes not. And Baba was saying that the two things with these souls were that sometimes they don't have the courage to face obstacles, and sometimes they have the carelessness of wanting comfort. But they are renunciates. They've renounced the Lokic world and become Baba's child. But they haven't renounced the body, the household of the body, or the household of service. And then Baba talked about the second type, and he called them great renunciates. And these are the souls who've renounced the Lokic world and the body too. They've renounced body consciousness, they've become stable, loving, peaceful, sweet, and they're very serviceable. And Baba said that they've let go the iron chains, but they still have the golden chains. Do you remember? The iron chains. So they've actually cut a lot of dependent eyes and mys, but the golden chains deep in their heart the feeling that I'm very good, I'm a knowledgeful soul, I'm a jnani soul, I'm a good speaker, all that sort of stuff. Baba calls it golden chains. So it's almost like they've let go the body conscious ego of the Lokic world, even the body. But Baba said they haven't really renounced those golden chains where, you know, and they can become very famous. Baba said in the Brahman family, everyone says they're very good. But they still haven't renounced that, you know, that feeling that I'm very good and, you know, this sort of thing. And it just makes you realize, doesn't it, how high this destination is that Baba's taking us. Because I remember the last renunciation Baba talked about was to renounce the thought that I've renounced. You know, it never ends with Baba, does it? He just takes us to such a high level. But I think that, you know, when the soul feels, and Baba was talking about the greatest of renunciates are the ones who are like Baba. They are incorporeal, viceless and humble. In other words, they just feel it's all Baba. I don't feel it's me. You know, I've even renounced, you know, the ego of attachment to my own virtue or my own achievement. And actually, that's so much freedom. Because if you have attachment to that, it becomes a pressure. Sometimes, you know, you feel you have to impress people or be something in other people's eyes. And so Baba outlined renunciation and surrender because it's absolutely the foundation of having deep yoga. And this season, Baba was reminding us about having volcanic yoga, you know? And I wonder, how is your volcano? Is it exploding? Is it dormant? You know? Is it frothing? How is the volcano? Because when I've reflected a lot on this over the years, and what I've come to the conclusion is that, like anything in life, you have to build every layer of the volcano to have that quality of yoga. I think so many of Baba's children, we just sit down to meditate, wanting to have the best meditation, and my mind wanders here, my mind wanders there. You know, it goes all over the place. And you know what happens subtly? Deep down, I lose confidence that I can meditate well. And what I often feel, subconsciously, we replace achievement in yoga by achievement in action. Because it's a battle in yoga, service becomes my focus because I can see achievement, I can see results. Whereas just sit down and actually go beyond this material world, link with Baba and stay beyond, that needs how much effort? And over the years of sort of thinking about this, what I've come to the conclusion is it's not actually when I sit to meditate, which is really the first step. Sometimes I think we need to lay the foundation, and that's really preparing the ground or preparing the foundation by my lifestyle. Because it's those 18 hours a day that are really influencing the quality of my meditation. It's actually my behavior during my life, my interaction with people, which are influencing the quality of my meditation. If you get upset, can you meditate? If you get a bit angry, can you meditate? If you get shocked by something, can you meditate? You can't. And so it's like Srimat enables us. Srimat is the code of pure karma. When I follow Srimat, during those 18 hours a day when my actions are good, It's freeing my mind to go to Baba. If my actions have been inaccurate, even subtly body conscious, when I want to go to meditate, my intellect is pulled by that subtle, inaccurate action. Even an attitude, even if I've just been mentally critical, that's an inaccurate action. Or I've gossiped about somebody, that's an inaccurate action. So when I sit to meditate, I start to process my feelings about my behavior, and I don't go beyond to Baba. And that's why, really, we need those things. We need Srimat, renunciation, and surrender. All three are like the platform to build the volcano on. They're the foundation. And when they're sitting there, it frees the intellect to start the journey beyond. Otherwise, I'm pulled by my inaccurate karma, my pull to the things, my possessions, my family, you know, or my pull to my impurity, my weakness. And you see the cleverness of Baba? He's actually preparing the ground for the highest form of yoga. And then I think if I'm building the volcano, first I need to prepare the ground. Observe my behavior throughout the day for 18 hours. Because really that's crucial to having good meditation. I would say if you want to improve meditation, it's not about when you sit. That's the result of your 18 hours of the day. It's actually looking at my interactions, looking at my attitude, looking at my behavior and improving that. So my yoga gives me the strength to follow Srimat and behave better. And the more I do that good karma, it gives me the strength to have better yoga. So my karma, my action and my thoughts are influencing each other. And then what begins the soul to really, I say, to go beyond is the power of love. It's really recognizing Baba, having love for Baba. And that enables the soul to become bodiless. And when I'm bodiless, that's when the burning, the volcano begins to burn. And in that silence, you know, Baba can work on the soul sanskaras. But the foundation is renunciation, surrender, and I would say even understanding what is Srimat. How do I follow Srimat? Not in a rigid way. Why does Baba give us Srimat? It's not just a set of laws and regulations. No. Each Srimat is embedded in a deep truth about the law of karma. It will free me from some bad karma. I need to go into the depth and understand each direction Baba gives, because it will free the soul from, you know, impurity and bad karma. And then it's like I'm able to have the highest quality of yoga, this really deep connection with Baba. And so I think if you haven't had the chance to read those Mulis on renunciation, they're very simple, but they're profoundly deep. And to me, they're like a map of what Brahman life is really about. It takes me to the truth, and it takes me to the level that God wants us to go to, that Baba wants us to go to. You know, it is a high destination, and yet it's all about freeing myself from all the eyes and my's and becoming really light and feeling naturally close to Baba.